Next case on our docket this morning is State v. Hughes. If counsel is ready to proceed, please come forward, state your name, and
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, I am Mark Torvinen. As of 9 o'clock yesterday, the District Attorney of Elko County, appearing on behalf of the appellant in this matter. At the outset of my remarks, I feel compelled to summarize the sequence of events which brings us here today. And they are these. On the 24th of November 2008, a detective from the Elko County Sheriff's Department executed a search warrant on the respondent's residence, during the course of which a computer was seized. 2 days later, a second search warrant was obtained and executed on the computer itself. Three video clips were found on that computer. Each depicted the respondent's 17-year-old daughter engaged in sexual intercourse with a male whose face was not visible in the videotape in what was identified as the master bedroom of the respondent's residence. That male was identified by a woman in the preliminary examination who had either lived with or been married to the respondent for some 19 years. That identification was based on his body hair that was depicted in the videotape.
Mr. Torvinen, the appearance
of the man's left hand.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
In this particular case, there doesn't seem a dispute as to the factual background.
Right.
But what is before us this day, one issue on appeal, whether the word minor in NRS 200.710 is unconstitutionally vague.
Correct.
That is the issue before the court this morning.
All right.
So will you speak to that issue?
I will. First, Chief Justice, I would suggest that at the heart of this controversy is the concept that somehow the word minor, as it's used in those statutes, must be harmonized with the so-called age of consent. The first thing the state would observe is that there is no statute which defines the age of consent. There is no statute that says that the legislature of the state of Nevada approves of the participation of 16 and 17-year-olds in sexual activity without limitation, without discretion. It arises by implication from the provisions of 200.364, which defines the offense of statutory sexual seduction and limits the application of its penalty to those cases where a person is an adult in two forms, one being 18, which is a gross misdemeanor, or 21, has sex with a person under the age of 16 years. So the first observation the state has is that this compunction or this compulsion to harmonize the word minor with the so-called age of consent is, in the state's view, a misconception, because there is no age of consent. There is simply a limitation on the application of the penalties described by the offense defined in NRS 200.364. With respect to this particular issue, that is this age of consent, which is so bound up in this controversy, I cited a case in my reply brief called State versus Centers, which concerned a conviction in Nebraska of a 28-year-old high school teacher who videotaped the otherwise lawful sexual activity between he and his 17-year-old girlfriend. In deciding that case, the Nebraska Supreme Court made this observation. And this has to do with what the harm that the pornography statutes are addressed to. Even for those who record an intimate act and intend for it to remain secret, a danger exists that the recording may find its way into the public sphere, haunting the child participant for the rest of his or her life. It is reasonable to conclude that persons 16 and 17 years old, although old enough to consent to sexual relations, may not fully appreciate that today's recording of a private, intimate moment may be the internet's biggest hit next week. The first time that, as far as the state can discern, that the words "a person under the age of 16 years" appeared in the pornography statutes was in 1985 in Assembly Bill 426, when the words "a person under the age of 16 years" were inserted in to the provisions of NRS 200-730, which prescribes the simple or mere possession of child pornography. And what word was it substituted for? The word "minor." At the time, there was a reduction prescription. They left, as far as I can discern, undisturbed the use of the word "minor" in the production statute. The standard, as this court is well aware, and cited by the trial judge in terms of vagueness, is whether or not the statute gives notice to a person of ordinary intelligence and whether it contains standards, specific standards, sufficient to prevent arbitrary enforcement. I cited a case called Robert E. versus Justice Court in my opening brief, a rule of construction that said if the statute is clear on its face, the court should not go beyond the statute itself in trying to discern its meaning. The district court, interestingly enough, in its order, its first instinct, if you read the order, was to look at the dictionary for what does "minor" mean. This is the word that was excerpted from NRS 200-730 in 1985. And the district court concluded, and he used Webster's dictionary, that a minor is a person who has not attained the age of majority. The district court went on again, I suggest to you, because of this compulsion to harmonize the word "minor" with the concept of whether or not a person can legally participate in a given sexual activity, went on to find that the word "minor" was either unconstitutionally vague or meant a person under the age of 16 years because of its inclusion in NRS 200-730, which is the possession of pornography. Now, additionally, the 2009 legislature has inserted those words into NRS 200-727, which is an internet provision, which prescribes the control of child pornography acquired over the internet. However, I'm suggesting to the court that the harm that the production, the promotion, and the distribution provisions of those statutes seeks to address is not changed one way or another if a minor, if it's interpreted to be a person under the 18 years of age, well, that harm is not changed whether or not they're lawfully participating in the sexual activity, i.e. they're 16 or 17, or they're 15. One of the cases I cited was New York versus Ferber, and in that, the court made an observation, the United States Supreme Court, that the distribution of films and photographs depicting this, and they use the word juveniles. And before I go on, there's something I need to inform the court and counsel with respect to the Nebraska court opinion I cited. I would have to concede, and I looked, that the Nebraska legislature had the good sense and foresight to define the word child as a person under the age of 18, so they were not confronted with the issue that you have today. But in any event.
Could I ask a question at this point?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at Judge Buccinelli's order, and it says,
yes,
the court would add that even if NRS 200-710 were not unconsciously vague, the legislative history behind that statute evidences an intent to define minor as a person under the age of 16, thus requiring this court, meaning his court, mm-hmm, the Buccinelli court, to dismiss count one. Now, it doesn't seem like you challenged that.
Well,
in other words, is it before us? Is that issue even before us?
It is in this sense that I have suggested that the legislative history in this case, and I suggested in my brief, is not very helpful because every time they're talking about this, they're talking about the possession statute. They never, except one time in the 1995 hearings, address this potential for a dichotomy between the word minor and the word, and what does that mean? And I think it was Mr. Humke who at the time was proposing, he wanted to raise the age to 18, but again, every time they have addressed this in terms of the age, it's always in the possession statute. They have never addressed the issue of what minor in those statutes mean,
so
except to remove it from 200-730 in 1985.
Doesn't that then lead us to a natural conclusion that use of the term minor throughout this particular statutory scheme is at least ambiguous, subject to one or more reasonable interpretations?
Except that there is a rule of law.
Sorry,
that, there's a rule of statutory interpretation, that says you're supposed to start off, if it's clear on its face, and the only way you get this lack of clarity is by trying to juxtapose the possession statute against the word minor. Because the ordinary meaning of minor is a person who has not reached the age of majority.
I'm going to guess the respondent is going to disagree with you as to the ordinary meaning, and hence the dilemma that we are now faced with.
Counsel, do you wish to save any time for rebuttal at this point, or do you have any thoughts you want to give us before you sit down?
Well, I think we've all briefed this, and yeah, I'll save a few minutes for rebuttal. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William Rutsis, and I am one of the attorneys in this case. I'm going to split my time with co-counsel.
Could you answer my question that I asked?
Yes. First of all, his answer is completely incorrect. At page 22 of our moving papers, the legislature in 1985 specifically addressed, for the purpose of a young person used in a live performance for filming, they were dealing with the production, not the possession. It is currently 16 years or below because that mirrors the age of sexual consent pursuant to statutory sexual seduction laws. It is, I ask of this court, it is a life sentence in the state of Nevada. It is entirely an absurd position to call it a child pornography statute and then to use the term minor. And the Supreme Court, the legislature in the state of Nevada has held that the age of consent is 16 years of age. The argument the prosecution says is that doesn't mean it's legal. If it isn't a crime, the interaction sexually between adults is constitutionally protected conduct.
Mr. Rutsis, if I could just interrupt. In responding to the appellant or to the appellant's opening brief, did you understand the state's argument here to contest both the trial judge's constitutional determination as well as the trial judge's analysis of the ambiguity of the statute?
Do I believe that they are questioning both those areas?
Yes.
In the moving papers? I think they have to be. I think they have to question the court's ruling.
So when you responded in your answering brief, you made the assumption that the appellant's brief attacked both grounds under which the state or under which the district court dismissed count one.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And I would like to hold what I think is the foundational issue here. Child pornography, according to the United States Supreme Court in Ashcroft stated in concluding that by banning virtual child pornography, the CPPA was unconstitutionally overbroad because virtual child pornography did not record a crime, created no victims, and was not intrinsically related to the abuse of children. There is no abuse if the crime, the harm that seek to be prevented in pornography statute is the depiction of a demeaning, sexually explicit, illegal act. Nevada cannot allow a pornography statute with a life sentence to lie where the act being depicted is a legal act. We're going to put somebody in prison for life in a scenario. This is how absurd it is. A 17-year-old girl can take a video of sleeping with an 18, 50, 60, 25-year-old man. He's allowed her to produce, according to the Nevada statute, he would be allowing her to produce a pornographic material. That then, if he keeps that in his home, he is guilty potentially of a life sentence for the depiction of a legal act. That is inconsistent with jurisprudence in this country. If the Nevada legislature has said that at 16 years of age, you can have sex, are they saying that minors can have sex? No, for the purposes of the sexual statutes, they are saying that you are not a minor at the time you could, for the purposes of sexual intercourse in the state of Nevada. Further, the luring statute in Nevada uses the age of 16 to make it illegal to lure a minor. Fundamentally, the position the prosecution or the district attorney has taken is a house that's laying on a foundation that makes absolutely no sense. They have cited a Nebraska case where he himself admits that Nebraska legislature specifically delineated the age. We are left in a position where minor, in the context of the statutes at hand, when read in conjunction with the legislative intent, not only is ambiguous, but I submit that the reasonable interpretation is that minor has to mean in conjunction with the law of legal consent to be 16. The harm being prevented when you have child pornography laws is the exploitation. The federal laws they call child exploitation is exploiting a criminal act. There's no criminal act at 17 and 16 in the state of Nevada. I have a picture of my girlfriend and I at 17 who may be my wife and may be pregnant, and I'm possessing that material. And I think the prosecution misunderstands something else. There would be a directed verdict in this case because the statute requires a performance. And his interpretation is that child pornography in this statute should not only be under 18, but the act is committed by the depicting of a sexual act. The federal exploitation would require the intent to exploit that act because the harm is being continually occurring by the exploitation of a depraved act against someone, a child. So I'm going to turn it over now to my colleague.
Can I ask you one question, Mr. Sure. Roos? Again, counsel, I believe, is arguing that the term minor is clear, unambiguous. It's just somebody under the age of 18. Therefore, we don't even have to go to the legislative history. It's irrelevant because it's a clear term. And then we have NRS 129.010 defining minors under the age of 18. What's your comment to that in a nutshell?
Well, in a nutshell, minor is a term of legal. It's a legal term that has many different meanings in many different areas, and you have to look at it in the confines of the child sex acts in the state of Nevada, the age of consent, and you've got to look at it in the luring. Now, granted,
what do you make of the U.S. Supreme Court's case in Osborne, footnote 9, concerning an Ohio statute scheme virtually identical to ours, where they use the term minor, and the court rejects out of hand as without merit the argument that that use of minor is unconstitutionally vague in this setting?
May I defer?
Does that go to your colleague's portion of the argument?
It does, and he's going to be more prepared. He's really more of the expert in this area. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Attorney William Swofford. I'm pleased to be here today. In response to your question, the Ohio statute is proscribing and criminalizing conduct that is justified by a different reason. It's not justified based on, my understanding was that was a statute criminalizing nudity, and the statute at hand, the justification is that it's regulating the secondary effects. It's criminalizing the speech based on the fact that because the minor is a child who is unable to consent to sexual conduct, they're suffering harms as a matter of law that flow directly from the creation of the speech itself. There's victimization of a child as a matter of law, and the...
Counsel, this has been challenged as to the ambiguity of the term minor, without getting into this other, but as to this term of art. What are we to do with that, seeing that we have that that says anyone under the age of 18 is a minor?
That statute deals with the age of majority. That statute says that a person who has attained the age of 18 can enter into a contract and are emancipated for all lawful purposes. Emancipation, what I believe, I don't have the Black's Dictionary right in front of me, but I believe it says to free from political, social, and legal constraints. There's other ways of emancipation. One way of being freed from legal constraints is by statute. In the context of sexual conduct, it is legal in Nevada. The legislature has determined that.
Do you think this definition of minor or non-definition of minor, just going with what a ordinary person would think, would put a reasonable person on notice?
Yes, in the context of sexual conduct in Nevada, I think most reasonable people would assume that a criminal statute based on a sexual act would not be unlawful and could not possibly prescribe a person to life imprisonment based on speech intrinsically related to lawful conduct. I think that's absurd.
Do you think if this statute said instead of minor that a person under the age of 18 cannot be depicted, you can use somebody under the age of 18 in the production of...
I think that would cause the statute to become unconstitutional. It would become unconstitutionally overbroad if that were to happen, because the age of... You would have conduct that's not illegal as a matter of law would require an additional finding of fact, like in the child abuse statutes or in the sexual
so
exploitation.
So your core
statutes.
Argument is that because there's a divergence between the age of consent and the age at which a person can be depicted without criminal consequences flowing, your argument is that consent has to match the pornography age statute.
It does because of the justification. It's regulating the secondary effects.
You're making that argument under Ashcroft?
I'm making that argument under Ferber and Ashcroft as well, the way that they interpret.
What do you do with the Colorado Campbell case?
Okay, now my understanding of that, I might be incorrect, but I think that was challenged based on privacy, based on a invasion of privacy. I think that I could be wrong, but I think that was a Fourth Amendment challenge as opposed to a 14th Amendment challenge.
Okay.
Counsel, I find your age argument interesting only because in the criminal area we have two distinct areas depending on how the state charges. One is for statutory sexual seduction, but the other is just for sexual assault. And in one, the jury gets to consider whether consent. The other is a default situation by statute. And so if the legislature can impose that, then why is 18 a problem if, as was asked, if 18 was put up there?
18 is improbable because it would create a law that was removed from the content, from the scope of the First Amendment's protection based on the content as opposed to the secondary effects. When you regulate based on content, you're going to have to satisfy strict scrutiny. There's a compelling interest, there's a compelling state interest in protecting children from mental and psychological harms. When they're not a child anymore, you can still remove that from the First Amendment's protection based under the obscenity laws. However, there's only a legitimate state interest, and you're not going to be able to overcome the strict scrutiny requirements based on that are going to be required on a content-based restriction.
Well, counsel, that's an interesting argument, but the district court struck count one on a vagueness challenge, not a speech challenge. And as I understood this appeal, it is addressing the vagueness challenge, not the speech challenge.
Unconstitutional vagueness is a procedural due process argument, and a procedural due process argument must look at the substantive fundamental rights implicated by the facts and determine whether there are procedural safeguards that are adequate to protect the fundamental substantive rights implicated. This is a statute that criminalizes speech. It prescribes an entire category of speech and removes an entire category from the protections of the First Amendment. It is impossible to address this vagueness challenge without discussing the First Amendment.
Well, perhaps, but was that raised to the district court judge?
No.
Because the district court judges, but I didn't see that.
No, it was not.
I'm hearing and listening to an argument that does not.
It was not raised at the district court.
Nor has it been analyzed by the district court judge in that fashion.
No.
Okay.
Could we switch gears for a moment and tell me why you think the statute is ambiguous on its face without resort to legislative history?
Okay. Even if there was no ambiguity as to age, if everyone agreed it was 16 or everyone agreed it was 18, it would still be unconstitutionally vague because of the subsections it's divided into. You have A and B. 1 and 2, I don't know. 1 is it uses sexual conduct, where 2 uses a sexual portrayal. The sexual portrayal appears as if it uses the language from the obscenity standard. However, it is not the same as obscenity, which is actually addressed in the legislative history behind Assembly Bill 405 in 1995, which underlies the amendments to the sexual exploitation statute. That was the prior version of what is now the production of child pornography statute. In this legislative history, they
conclude your statement.
Okay. They discuss the fact that although they used the language from the Miller, or I'm sorry, from the California v. Miller case, it's actually not implicating the obscenity language. It just appears to be situationally functional. They chose to use language, purine interest. They discussed using lewd and lascivious. These are terms that appeal to society, like obscenity, as opposed to harms created to the child itself that are harms to society. And the statute, as in this case, as evidenced by this case, you have a 17-year-old girl, and there's no harm caused as a matter of law. It could be caused as a matter of fact, or it doesn't necessarily flow from the speech itself as required in Ferber. So it's not obscene. It could be obscene. There's been no finding that's obscene. But the obscenity standard is not implicated by that anyway, because it doesn't include all three prongs of the obscenity standard. So my argument would be that it's unconstitutionally vague on its face because of the way that they drafted the statute in 1995 without considering what the requirements were, what needed to be justified to remove this conduct from the protections of the First Amendment.
Also, at this point, I'm going to thank you for the argument to state. We have 3:35 left for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think what I'd like to respond to is Mr. Roots's assertion that there's no harm in volunteering. And in my briefs, I pointed out a rule that there should be an interpretation of statutes that does not reach an unreasonable result. There is a statute in this state. It's called 200-508. It concerns child abuse. And one of the forms of child abuse is sexual exploitation. And the definition of sexual exploitation is allowing or permitting a child to be filmed or to engage in sexual conduct within the meaning of 200-700. And it's a felony. And there is no doubt that 200-508 is applicable to anyone under the age of 18. Now, yes, I concede, and counsel raised this in their answering brief, that there is another element in child abuse, and that is whether or not the child suffers mental harm, we're talking about mental harm here, or may suffer mental harm. There's a footnote in New York versus Ferber where the United States Court, in a very long footnote, recites one after another, they've thought it worthy of note, one after another of the studies that have shown that the harm is intrinsic to the production and distribution to the children who are involved in it, to the production and distribution of child pornography. It is that harm that the production and the distribution and the promotion statutes are directed. And I suggest also explains the huge dichotomy in penalty between the production, the promotion, and the distribution statutes and the mere possession statutes. And again, I am suggesting to you that the rule of construction, which and there's no doubt that the legislature of the state of Nevada perceived that there is a huge harm connected with this thing, child pornography, because of these penalties that they imposed in connection with it. And I am urging you to simply read the statute and give it its ordinary meaning. If you do that, you will conclude that minor means a person under the age of majority. And you can distinguish the possession statute because it's a lesser harm. That's why the penalty is so much lower. And yes, they impose another element on the state, and that is to prove that the child is under the age of 16. But there is nothing incongruent about, I would suggest to you, the reading of the statute. Anyway, I thank you today for your time, and at least I will tell you that at least the prosecutorial bar awaits your judgment. Participation. Thank you, everybody.
This court would thank both counsel for their argument this day. It has given us something to think about as we go back and deliberate. This case will stand submitted. Thank you very much.